you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you. Reading from Romans chapter 14, verses 17 and 18. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. And I'll also read from Acts chapter 2. Verse 42 to set up today, Testimony Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship of the breaking of bread and to prayer. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, my favorite day. It's October 10th, 2023. And the quick little story is I'm just getting to know Scott Payne. In fact, he's been a part of some of the BMIC gatherings, the Businessmen in Christ Saturday gatherings. I think I may have seen him at one of the Iron Sharpens Iron gatherings, but he's a part of the Ministerial Alliance here in Springfield. And so we had a meeting this past Saturday, and afterwards I said, Scott, I want to have you on to share a little about your faith journey and inner city missions. And he said, well, what do I need to do to prepare for that? And I said, just show up. So here he is in the studio with me. We're finding that we have similar life experiences. He worked with Walmart, you said, and Jewel food stores. So we've been swapping stories about the retail business, the retail industry. We both have a heart for God's word. And he said he loves many different verses, but Romans 14, 17 through 18 is close to his heart. And he also appreciates Acts 2:42 because of the inner city mission. So we'll talk a little about that. I know also you mentioned something about fractured habitation. I had never heard that before, but you were defining some of the things that inner city missions does, because I said, well, that's dealing with homeless, right? And you said, well, actually, there's like three different ways of looking at it. You know, some people are homeless because of storms and because of circumstances. So we're going to get into that. But I wanted you to first share a little of your faith journey. With it being Testimony Tuesday, Scott, how did God reveal himself to you through these years?
Well, I'll tell you, I was born on a Sunday, early enough for my dad to go teach Sunday school. So I've been in church my whole life and grew up really taking full advantage of Christianity. Then I went off to college, and everything I'd put my faith into fell apart. I sold my Dodge 68 Charger to go to college. My girlfriend and I broke up, and I came to this point where it's like, oh my. And I really was at the point where it was like, is this really real or true? And went to a Second Chapter of Acts concert, and in the middle of it, their bus driver gets up and sings a song about Humpty Dumpty. And still, in the auditorium, I was sitting there. There was probably several thousand people. It was in Decatur Civic Center. And I still feel the light come on me as this guy, as the bus driver sings about how Humpty Dumpty was so prideful and sat on the wall and how he fell. And nothing could put him back together. But then the king stepped off his throne. And I know at that moment God was saying, that was you. I went back to my dorm room at college and said, okay, I got to figure what this is, because I did the things I was supposed to do, but something was missing. And that's where that Acts 2:42 comes into play. Go figure, is Acts 2:42 concert. So I go back and I'm reading Acts 2:42. And I was born in a faith tradition that really stopped at baptism. And we never really was taught that next verse. But that next verse is so powerful, and because what it showed me was they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer. And as I thought about it and prayed about it, the Lord said, what I want is a relationship with you. Do you see there? You have teaching, that's listening. Praying, that's talking. Those are the two elements that are found in a relationship, because no relationship is of any value at all if there's not communication. And communication is built by those two things, listening and talking. And so, but then you say, well, what about those other two? You know, fellowship and breaking of bread. I call those the barometers of. You see, I have this relationship with a lovely woman called Connie Payne. We've been married 40 some odd years. And if I go throughout the day and I don't remember her, guess what? I have to question how much of a relationship do I have. And if I go throughout the day and never bring her up in conversation, which is fellowship, talking about things that I love and things that other people love, and other people love my wife, and so am I with my children or whatever, as we talk about Connie, that is fellowship. So I found that night the Lord said, hey, I want to have a relationship with you. It's not about all the things that you do. It's about this relationship. And so at that point, I started this journey to figure out, how do I have a relationship with this almighty creator God? But I'll tell you, that relationship is so much sweeter than having the religion of making sure I did the right things.
And that was about 40, how many years ago?
I'm 65 years. This is my Medicare year. I just went through all the process of signing up for Medicare and make sure I got it in the right month and all that kind of thing. So that was my first year of college. I was 19 years old because I flunked second grade. So I started school a year later.
So anyways, you were born in 57, 1957?
I was born in 58. I was born 58. In 1958. Okay. Yeah. Become real popular when you turn.
You get all those mailings.
Hundreds of mailings. Yeah. Everybody likes me.
Well, even sharing that experience, which was like 40 or so years ago, you choked up and welled up a little bit. I could see it in your eyes because it was a significant shifting point. Because I know so many of our listeners, they may have grown up in a Christian home or going to church or aware of God, but maybe have never personalized it where they really thought about what Jesus did on the cross for them, for their sins. And so that was that evening where it wasn't just a religion or a good practice or, yes, I believe in God, but you really took to heart what Jesus did for you and that he wanted to work in and through you?
Yeah. And the other thing is that what really came on me over the next few months is the question of, man, you've been blessed with a family who really cares about you and loves you and gives to you. What are you going to do with it? And eventually, when I ended up at the mission, I was there for probably a couple of weeks, and I was driving home, and I started to find myself tearing up and crying. And it's like, I'm not really a crier. I never was a crier. But I had asked God for a special spiritual gift, so I knew when he was there. I was hoping, like, I'd be a dynamic speaker or something, what I would consider maybe, or the world would consider maybe more manly. And what he gave me was tears. But anyways, that's as I'm driving home, I'm crying. And I'd get home, and my wife would say, what's wrong? I said, I don't know. I just left the mission, and by the time I got a mile away, I started crying. So that went on for about 2 weeks, and I was asking, what in the world's going on? And he said, you're crying because of what you're seeing at the mission, at working with homeless children, their parents, and single women. And I said, is it because of the stories that I've heard and the trauma and the chaos and the lies of these people? And he said, that's part of it. But the real reason is you've taken me for granted. You think that everybody has had this same opportunity because up to this point in your life, you have been surrounded by people who've had the same blessings. And there's this other whole world walking beside you that not had the same opportunities. And so what I'm giving you is this gift of tears. When the Spirit touches or moves, you get to cry. And it's like, come on, can I be like Samson and be able to pick up something strong or something? But anyways.
And I don't know if I formally really even introduced you, but joining me on this Testimony Tuesday is Scott Payne. He's the executive director of the Inner City Mission here in Springfield. And I think 30 so years? How many years have you been doing this?
Been doing it 30 years.
And the executive director most all those years?
The first five, I started as let's put this, I didn't want to do homeless work. I actually thought it was kind of beneath me. The job, I'd had successful ministries other places. I went into church planting. I lasted 3 months because the board member and I disagreed on how to move forward. And that's a long story. And Mark, I can tell you and I are brothers of the talk, so we could go on and on. But anyways, and so I decided I need to step away from that ministry, even though I'd moved my family into the area. And I basically said, God, wherever you want me to go, I'll take the first job that comes open. And I basically took a $5 an hour job at this homeless shelter to do what they called lodge supervising and just being there at night, that type of thing. And that then grew into 5 years later, I became the executive director and been there ever since.
Yeah, inner city missions here in Springfield. When did you meet Connie? When did God bring you together? And was it love at first sight, or how did you know that she was the one maybe God handpicked for you?
She was the first girl I saw standing in line to get books at college. And I knew she was way out of my class, and I'd never be with her. So there's faith for you, or maybe self-awareness. 3.5 years later, we were friends. We had had classes together and that type of thing. Through some events, we were at a party together and talked about we need to sit down and talk sometime. And so we actually ended up talking for about 3 hours one night. And then she came and told me a few days later, you do know, if you want me, I want to marry you. And I said, oh, really? And she said, well, you seem like you're just a little bit nervous. And so I thought I better make my intentions known. I thought, well, thank you very much. I didn't think I'd ever.
This is going to use better than I thought.
Yeah, this is great. So, yeah, this was easier. And so she actually did an internship in New Zealand. And I was in Connecticut and ended up getting the money put together to buy a ring. And when she got off the plane, I took her behind her home church at the pulpit and gave her the ring there and said, we're going to be in ministry. So I figured this would be the best place. Now, we haven't been in, quote, the pulpit ministry. We did for a few years. Inner City Mission isn't a pulpit ministry, but the pulpit and that, the sanctuary of God, I guess, illustrated that.
Served so together, and yep, God yep, has yep. used her
She's
gifts and skills.
Mission,
is she like a behind-the-scenes prayer warrior, or is she out there just loving on people? What are her gifts?
She is probably one of the most dynamic prayer warriors I know. She has been at the mission. She's done just about every job at the mission with me and come alongside. We have 6 children and 14 grandchildren, so, you know, her life was always very, very busy.
Well, you also chose Romans 14, 17 through 18, and these words of Paul as recorded in Romans chapter 14, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves God in this way, and this I love this part, is pleasing to God and approved by men. And I just think, I have to pause. We can do something that's pleasing to God that brings him pleasure or delight. I mean, it's kind of an amazing concept. We humans that are kind of pitiful, you know, we sit on our little, as Dr. Dave Webb would say, our little plastic throne saying, I'm ruling.
Yeah.
But here we can please the sovereign God of the universe that is all complete and holy and immutable. You know, he's phenomenal. He's awesome. But we can bring him pleasure. So how have you seen this verse at work in your life?
Well, I like to say I'm really just kind of a simple guy. As I said, I flunked second grade, so I was never a great reader. I couldn't even spell my last name till I was 12. So it's always been, okay, I'm going to read the Bible, but I have to get, what is the essence of it? What is the heart of it? I would sit in church looking for pictures in the Bible because, like, all these words, that's just so overwhelming. Yeah. Where's the picture book? So with that, over the years, have read the Bible multiple times. What is the essence, God? What's the essence? And he took me to that scripture because it really says the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you live that way, you actually are pleasing to God. And that's so amazing. But the other side, too, I think that I really like is that you're acceptable to man. Mm. And many times we as Christians think everybody's supposed to hate us and everybody's supposed to not like us. And if they don't like us, then we're doing what God wants. And really, the first century, they grew so quickly because God blessed them. The Spirit of God was seen through them. So they were drawn to our Father. And so they individually were pleasing in the sight of people around because they were acting out the Holy Spirit and godly love into the community. So you have this very powerful, almost what seems like opposites, but you're pleasing to God and people, even non-church people, will see there is something different. Because why? Righteousness, joy, and peace.
And I think about that fragrance of Christ. Is it evident through our actions, through our words? In fact, I was convicted the other day that fruit of the Spirit's the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness.
Right.
And the love, joy, I'm pretty thankful and grateful to God. But I thought, peace and patience, am I bringing peace into my conversations? Am I bringing peace into the circumstance? Or I'm like, oh gosh, my day's been crazy and I'm doing this. And, you know, that's not bringing peace into the situation. So I was thinking, Lord, help me be bringing peace wherever I go. And then the patience. Am I like irritable? Am I like, I got to get this task done? And those were two things that I was just like, Lord, today, allow me to bring peace and be patient in the ways that I exhibit who you are through me. And, you know, as we go through those, the fruit of the spirits. But here you talk about peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So how have you seen the Holy Spirit prodding you of late?
Okay. Well, back to that. And you mentioned something that probably have Bible scholars maybe disagree, but I see the fruit of the Spirit as being love, and the attributes are the other. What happened with us at the mission with me is when I had a resident who said, I don't like the word love, and define it for me. And when I tell her John 3:16, I don't like that because that verse has hurt me so much. It's like, how could that hurt you? She says, well, people have used that verse to say, hey, God so loved he gave. So if you love, you have to give things that you don't want. Well, that's not what that. And so she said to me, if you want me to pay attention to this church stuff, you got to explain to me, you got to define for me what that word love means. I tried several times and she just poo-pooed it off. And I thought, well, maybe she's just looking for an excuse. But I had a problem. My problem was my faith is built upon agape love. So I'm looking at God, help me understand. What he took me back to is that same verse, which I eventually told her. For God so loved, he gave. There's no period there. He gave what? He gave Jesus. And who was Jesus? Not who, but what was Jesus? We always answer, who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. He is God. But no, what was he? He was that sacrifice that was needed to do what? To bring about. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I asked her, I said, what's that not perish, but have everlasting life? She said, heaven. What would heaven be? She said, well, I think that'd be lasting joy and peace. So when Paul's saying here that you have righteousness, joy, and peace through the Holy Spirit, what he's saying is, yes, the very fruit of the Spirit being love. Love is that joy and peace. So love is giving what's needed to bring about lasting joy and peace. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, that transforms, what does my wife need? I need to be thinking, God, give me wisdom. James 1 tells us, if we lack wisdom, what we need to do is we need to ask him, will you help us know, dear Father, what wisdom is? What about children? Do I just want them to do and to be what I want them to be? Or do I need to be saying, dear God, help me see who they are? And guess what's needed in all of that? Patience is so important, because patience gives us the margins of life so that we can take the time to really seek the wisdom to know what we really need to be doing, saying, and how we need to be responding, and not just letting our own emotional reactions take place, because usually our emotional reactions well up from our own wants, desires. So anyways, I'm not sure if I answered your question, but I shifted into preaching off. I'll stop now.
Well, I like this part too. It's verse 18. It begins with, because anyone who serves Christ in this way.
Right.
And so we're exhorted. Who are we ultimately serving? Are we self-serving? You know, I'm an expert on what I want, what I want to do, when I want to do it. But am I really willing to surrender, to sacrifice, to submit to Christ's will, to serve him and to serve others through him?
Right.
That's kind of the key.
Yeah. We know through Scripture that God and Christ are the same. Mm-hmm. We know that God is love. John tells us that. Read that again. Read what you just said.
Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men.
So anyone who serves love in this way. So in other words, love being God. God is love. So the whole gospel is that essence of giving what's needed. And that's what then we're called to do, is to live that out, to seek that. So if we live in this way, if we live in this essence of love that is who Christ is, then guess what? We're pleasing in God's sight, and people will notice. They will understand. And what's so funny about that is the Beatles were right. All you need is love. Mm. The problem is they defined love with a different L word, almost lust, or love as like. Agape love is neither one of those. All we need is love. So anytime that I come up against people, and I at the mission, they talk about the Bible says there's only one way to heaven type of thing, and that can't be. Well, Christianity is the only religion that puts this self-sacrifice at the center of it and defines love. And in reality, that's what we all want from ourselves and other people. That's the exact thing we want. So it's not this far-fetched, unrealistic thing. It makes complete, total sense when you look at the psyche of man and how we relate to other people. Love is the answer. It's agape love seen in the gospel, played out through Jesus Christ as he died on the cross and rose again. So anyways.
I thought of that Beatles song, All We Need Is Love. That's right. Yeah. The love is Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
All we need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's a new concept or you've never came to the point in your life where you recognize you needed him, call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. They're trained counselors. It's a free call. They'll answer your questions about the Christian faith and who Jesus Christ is, how you can trust the Bible, how you can recognize that you are loved and cared for and appreciated by God. He created you, he designed you, and he has plans and purposes for your life. Dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thank you, Scott, for joining me on this Testimony Tuesday. This program is archived if you missed a portion of it or want to hear it again at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org. We encourage you to share the link with a friend or listen again or share it with somebody that's struggling with recognizing whether God really cares and loves them. He does. And the scripture is very clear. God is love. So may you walk in that love, in that reassurance that he cares and has a plan for you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Scott Payne with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.